face down, ass up. That's the way she like to.
Please tell me you heard that, you guys.
She said, say it. Hey, bestie.
Hello, bestie.
Well, retrograde has been fun. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for it to be over already.
You know, I totally forgot that it was in retrograde, mm-hmm. and I just told you a story about mm-hmm. communications and miscommunications. Mm-hmm. How funny is that?
Yeah, I've been having a lot of communication today myself. Mm-hmm. I hope you guys out there are doing okay.
I hope this week has been treating you kindly and that you've been treating yourself kindly.
Yeah, everybody deserves some rest and grace and love and care and all that. Because, oh my God, because it's rough out here. I just kicked my computer. Also, if you hear a little clappy sound, it's the water fountain. Don't worry about it.
My cats are bougie bitches.
They need fresh water. They need recycled moving water.
I'm not gonna lie. Literally, my house is like 25% stuff for me, 75% stuff for them. They have their own room.
Yeah.
They have their own room. They have their own catio. They have their own cat wheel. Like, mm-hmm. They are living large. They're treated like princesses.
They have their own mini houses.
Yeah, they have three mini houses from Aldi's.
That are getting... They've lasted like a year.
Yeah, they were Halloween.
That one's getting a little...
I don't know what the hell they did to that one. They squashed it.
That's okay. They deserve it.
Cats deserve everything.
Absolutely. Any news? Anything you want to yap about? Anything fun, crazy, interesting?
Oh, another communication thing.
Oh.
So there is somebody in my family that in order to be able to go to functions and vacations and such and not be completely miserable, I must issue an apology, although I feel that I am not the one who should issue the apology.
And you're not.
The other person is.
Absolutely.
So I asked another friend if they would write the apology for me, and I'll just send it.
Yeah. Be like, yeah, here you go.
I'm like, I don't even want to think about it enough to type it out. Yeah. I can't even think about saying it.
That's fair.
It makes me sick. So there you go. Helpful handy tip.
Oh, so cute. Chunky girl.
Oh, isn't she the best?
Yep, her. Let's see. Anything? Oh, I got an inquiry today.
Oh, yes.
For a tattoo.
Do tell.
And I'm not laughing because I'm making fun of it or anything. I'm just laughing because I remember this being like a very popular thing in like 2012, and I haven't really seen it since. So I just think it's so interesting that somebody wanted to contact me to get this. So this person contacted me and they want like tear away, like they want it to look like their skin is torn away, and they want it to be like a Spider-Man suit underneath. Which, like, I think it would look sick. I want to know why. Part of me feels like it's like a joke. Like part of me feels like they don't actually want this. Because they were like, I just want to know the price and like how many sessions it would take.
Hmm.
So I don't know if they're genuine. We'll find out. I am going to I'm going to email them back. I'm going to try to book the tattoo.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought I was like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen one of these in so long. And
that's very like OG Ink Masters.
Yeah.
Time era.
I know. I was like, wow, that's one of the main reasons I want to know why is because, like, It's not like Spider-Man's had like a recent resurgence in the past year.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, like, there has been the Spider-Man movies with
Tom Holland.
Tom Holland.
He's such a little cutie. I love
cute little twink.
Yeah. Yes!
Speaking of twinks, my favorite twink is coming to town. Aww. On Tuesday, and I'm so excited. My best friend, Sean. Shout out, Sean.
Love that you said speaking of
twinks. Because he is. I mean, he's getting a little beefy. He's getting a little buff. He's looking good. He's looking healthy. But yeah, I'm really excited to see him. I haven't seen him in like 3 years. Last time I saw him was when Anna and I officially broke up. So they were there for that whole fight. But yeah.
So he's due for a visit.
Yeah. So I'm very excited.
Speaking of tattoos, when I was at the water park, obviously there's lots of interesting tattoos there.
Yeah.
But I was walking behind someone who had the tearaways.
Oh, nice.
But it was cheetah print underneath.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
And then under each buttock, one side said forever, the other side said Capricorn.
Forever Capricorn.
And I was like, yeah, that's typically you're that how forever. It works. Yes. Your birthday typically does not change.
No.
Oh, your teeth are sharp. She's too fat to be jumping into your lap.
I know. That's why I was like, stop, stop.
I could see it in her eyes. She wanted espérate, to.
Espérate. Anyway, I have to tell you about this. Hunter, cut this the fuck out.
So should we start this
yes.
episode?
Yes. Okay, let's just jump right in. My story is fun. Do you want to tell everybody the hint I gave you this week?
The hint that Rana gave me was Mihoy Minoy.
Doodle Bob.
Doodle Bob.
Mihoy Minoy. So today, I'm going to giggle a bit, but it's not a fun story. It's so goofy to me. Okay, not the story, but like... Not the story, but I'm going to be covering the unidentified murder, serial killer, really, who plagued San Francisco between January of 1974 and September 1975.
Okay. I don't think I've heard anything about this.
They dubbed him...
Say it out loud.
The Doodler.
No, not the Doodler. No, you don't want to get diddled by the Doodler.
You know, the movie, I don't remember what year it came out. It might have been like 2014, 15 or something. It was The Bye Bye Man.
Yeah. Came out
and everybody made a meme and it's called yeah. The Pee Pee Poo Poo Man.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, we're children. Okay.
Oh, Doodler, I don't even know her.
I hardly know her.
Don't nip at my fingers.
Anyway. So, yes, he was called the Doodler. I'll get into why later. I will say this is a very buttoned-up case. They have not released all of the information to the public. They have not released anything about who they might think it could be or anything. Like, they've given us no crumbs to go off of, really. So, it's believed that the Doodler is... It's responsible for between 6 and 16 murders.
Oh, shit.
So there are 6 identifiable murders. In total, 16. So, like, 10 more that they think could have been the Doodler. But they haven't been able to identify fully who they are. Some of them are still John Doe's. So, in 1974, just days before an upcoming out-of-town gig in Boston... 27-year-old drag queen Joseph J. Stevens went out for a drink at a popular cabaret bar but never made it home. On June 25th of that same year, a body was discovered among bushes in Golden Gate Park, and officers suspected, well, officers identified that it was Joseph J. We'll just call her J. And they had suspected that J was alive at the time that he had been at Spreckles Lake, because that's where they found him. And they believe that he was possibly taking himself to the area with the killer.
Interesting. That they were going to hook up.
What the heck was that?
It's a crab apple falling from that tree outside.
Oh my gosh.
Trailer. Yeah, they frequently fall onto the roof and then roll down.
But yeah, they believe he could have been either going there to meet the murderer or going there with the murderer and then got murdered once he got there. But there wasn't really much else to go off of other than they knew that he probably went there to either meet him or with him. His first victim was actually before this, and it would actually be Gerald Earl Kavanaugh, who was 49, and he was a Canadian-American immigrant, and he had been stabbed multiple times. Kavanaugh's fully clothed body was located lying face up, and he had apparently died hours before his body was discovered. He was determined to have been conscious at the time he was killed and had attempted to resist his killer because he had self-defense wounds. The next victim was Klaus Akim Claus? Christman. And he was 31. That makes sense. He was a German-American immigrant. And he was discovered by a woman walking her dog on July 7th, 1974. And he was found similarly to Gerald Kavanaugh at Ocean Beach in San Francisco. His death had been somewhat more violent than the previous murders because he had considerably more stab wounds than the other ones before and had been slashed in the throat several times.
Dang.
But the body was still fully clothed. But unlike previous victims, he was married and had children. And the reason that's interesting is because his body was found with a tube of lipstick in his pocket, which at the time was indicated that he may have been a closeted gay man.
Oh, interesting.
I think it was kind of like a calling card. Of like, if you had it with you, it would show other people, like in public, that like, hey, I'm gay, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Without having to like out yourself, really.
That's
so
very smart.
The Doodler's victims were often picked up at gay bars and nightclubs, and his next victim had been identified. That had been identified was also suspected to be a closeted man just because of like his background in life. And that was Frederick Elmer Kappen, and he was 32, and he was discovered on May 12th, 1975 in San Francisco. He had been stabbed like the other victims, dying from strikes to his aorta, and is believed his body had been moved approximately 20 feet because there was like markings in the sand that indicated that it had been like moved a little bit. And he was identified through fingerprints when these were matched to those taken by the state due to his occupation as a nurse.
Oh.
He also had served in the United States Navy, earning medals while serving in the Vietnam War. Hence, maybe he was in the closet.
Hence, maybe has some PTSD.
Oh.
From the war.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see how that would be a perfect storm.
His last identified victim was Harold Goldberg, who was 66.
Oof, he's old.
Yeah. He was a Swedish-American immigrant. He liked picking immigrants, it seemed like. Hmm. Or, like, people who weren't locally from San Francisco.
Yeah, probably easier to miss.
He was discovered on June 4th, 1975 in a decomposed state about 2 weeks after his death in Lincoln Park. He remains slightly, like, his situation is a little inconsistent with the other homicides because he was far older than the others, like you mentioned. His underwear had been taken and his pants were unzipped, which is unlike the others because they were all fully clothed. However, Goldberg is believed to have been the final confirmed victim of the Doodler. It is said that at least three men escaped the Doodler's attacks, including a foreign diplomat who told police he met his attacker, described as a tall black man between the ages of 19 and 21, at a late-night diner in San Francisco's Castro District. And the man, the Doodler, was doodling animal figures on a napkin.
Is that why they called him the doodler?
Well, they also called him the doodler because apparently he would sketch photos of his victims after they had died.
Interesting.
I couldn't find any info on how they found him. I don't know if he left them at the scenes of the murders. There's not really a lot of information on the murder scenes. Like, you can't really get a lot of evidence or, like, details of evidence. So, it's a little buttoned up. But, yeah, he liked to doodle is pretty much what they gathered. So, soon after a sketch was released, police got a tip with the name of a person of interest and a vehicle plate, and more calls followed with information about the same man. Police identified a person of interest in the case, but were unable to make an arrest. And this is because after the police interviewed the man, who has never been publicly identified, they've never released the name of who they suspected it was. In January of 1976, the killings stopped and the investigation went cold. So after they interviewed that man, everything stopped.
Okay, well, that seems to be like a big red flag.
Police questioned a young man as a murder suspect in the case but could not proceed with criminal charges because the three surviving victims didn't want to out themselves by testifying against him in court.
That's so sad.
Yeah. So the suspect also cooperated with police during his interview, but he also never admitted guilt for the murders and attacks or anything, so they really had nothing to get him on. Officers stated that they strongly believed that the man in question was responsible for the crimes, but he was never tried or convicted because of the survivor's refusal to appear in court.
Wow.
To date, the suspect has not been named publicly or apprehended, like I said. Very little information is available to the public about the crimes. But in 2022, police announced that Warren Andrews may be the sixth victim, or the seventh victim, I guess, of the notorious serial killer. Warren, who was 52, was assaulted and found unconscious on April 27th, 1975, at Land's End, which is a San Francisco park near the Golden Gate Bridge. And he died several weeks later, it says. So, after he was found unconscious, he was found dead several weeks later. But more recently, police released an updated drawing of the doodler and have said the man who was interviewed by police in the mid-70s is still considered a person of interest today. Investigators are asking anyone with information to call the SFPD's 24-hour tip line. And I'll go ahead and give you guys the number if anybody happens to have any sort of information or anything like that. It's 415-575-44444.
Wait. But he would have to be 90 by now.
Right? They suspected he was between 19 and 20, like 19 to 21 at the time
so
that
the
murders
born
were
in
happening.
The 50s.
Yeah.
50 years to 2000, 20.
Mm-hmm.
So 70. Okay, so he'd be like 70.
Yeah.
That's really old.
Yeah.
To still be committing, like they could just push you.
Yeah. Well, he's not committing them anymore. I mean, as far as they know, they just finally identified one of them in 2022.
Oh, it's not recent.
No. The murder wasn't recent. He was murdered in 1975.
Oh, okay.
Or, like, they found him unconscious at one point, and then a few weeks later, he died.
Mm-hmm.
But they finally, because a lot of them are John Does.
Right.
They finally identified him in 2022. There's also a podcast called the Doodler Podcast that covers this much more in depth and has continued updates and discussions about this cold case. And the Doodler has still to this day never been identified or prosecuted.
Wow, that's crazy that he could just like go on with his life.
I know. He's like, oh shit, I almost got caught. Guess we're done. I mean, as far as we know, he could be.
Yeah.
He could have had glory days. He could have been committing murders left and right and we wouldn't even know.
Homophobia is one hell of a thing, because like,
do you think it's homophobia or do you think it's internalized homophobia?
Yes, like that's what I'm saying. Like, he's so afraid of being gay that you
just
can
kiss
commit
a boy.
Such atrocities.
Just kiss a boy. It's not that big of a deal,
right?
Just smooch.
And for the survivors, that because of it they couldn't come forward. Like, that, it's just wow.
Yeah, that made me really sad to read about
All we can do is smoke about it.
That's so true, bestie. Let's Gordon.
Ramsay?
Gordon Ramsay? Yeah, we'll be back.
Bye.
Bye. What's your favorite stoner fast food binge? Well, not like binge, but like, whoa. What's your favorite fast food to get when you're stoned? Or what's, like, maybe not your favorite. What's your most craved? Like, your most often craved?
If it was closer, it would for sure be Cookout. But the Cookout is so far away from me.
Yeah.
Most often, I would say Taco Bell. But I do be craving McDonald's.
I don't think I have ever craved McDonald's since the boycott started, honestly.
Really?
I've been very surprised about that because I was going to McDonald's pretty often because it was on my way home when I lived at my apartments.
Yeah.
And it was just always, it was on my way to work and on my way home. So it was like, I could just stop at McDonald's. Taco Bell was way out of the way for me. So like McDonald's and Wendy's were my go-tos. And then once the boycott started, I was like, I just never really... If somebody, like, has it and I can smell it, I'm like, oh, that smells good. Yeah. But if I don't ever smell it, I'm not like, God, I could really use some McDonald's right now.
Yeah. When I was in middle school, this is so goofy and nerdy, but I was in a book club after school. And so, and it was like a school club. But basically, we would, like, read books that were coming to the library, like, new books, before everybody else got to read them. And we would, like decide whether or not to put them on reading lists and like, stuff like that. Like, we would give them ratings. We would argue about them. It was fun. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. I'm autistic. You know, it is what it is.
Fair.
And we would walk to the ice cream store downtown after school, like with our teachers in the club and stuff. And it was like a maybe like a 5-minute walk from our school to downtown, and we'd all go to this little ice cream shop.
That's so cute.
But we didn't have to have our parents, like, we would just leave.
That's crazy.
Like, we would just leave from downtown, the downtown of where I grew up. Shit happens there because it's
that's
like
so crazy.
It's like one singular street and that's it.
Yeah.
And that's all we have to do is walk there.
Jeez.
And so there was a lot of trouble to be had, and we just would be like, all right, bye, and we just like leave.
Yeah, the McDonald's was in a Publix Plaza parking lot, so there were like a million other stores as well as a Publix, so we would also flood the Publix a little bit.
I see.
They were a little more strict at Publix, obviously. They were like, we can't have a million fucking kids just running around here. If you're not going to buy anything, leave.
True.
Like, true. They would do that. And I think after a while, McDonald's started to make the rule that if you're not purchasing anything, you have to leave. like, but at the same time, they had the dollar menu back then. So you could get a soda and a large fry for a dollar.
Yeah.
And sit there for 4 hours, pretending to eat it for 4 hours. You know? So, like... Yeah, I don't know. I think about that sometimes. I'm like, that was really crazy that we would do that.
Yeah, right?
I remember when I was in band, we would walk over to McDonald's after school and hang out for a while and then walk back over to do band practice before the show and then do the show or the concerts or whatever. Yeah, Stella? She's like, butt in air.
In most inconvenient place possible.
Face down, ass up. That's the way she'd like to. Oh.
Please tell me you heard that, you guys.
She said, say it.
Out loud. That was so funny. She got the vibe.
She did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Face down, ass up. That's the way we like to. Oh, she let me down.
Wow.
She embarrassed me.
She's not a true yapper.
Nope.
Well, would you like to get back into it?
Yes, let's start your story.
Did I give you a hint?
I don't think so.
I did. You know, the hint is usually just so we don't, like, end up doing the same thing. And so sometimes
I knew you weren't going to be.
Yeah. So. And so sometimes once Raina tells me theirs, I'm like, okay,
And that's not what I'm doing.
And that's that. Okay, Raina, have you heard of?
It sounded like you were about to be like, Raina, have you ever done, like, have you ever gone to the middle of the woods and been like, hey, where the heck is the exit? Well,
so my cat Stella is white, mm-hmm. and when she's sitting on my lap like this and I'm just petting her, I feel like Dr. Evil.
Because he has a fluffy white cat.
Mm-hmm, with Mr. Bigglesworth. yeah, I don't know why I said it like that. That's who I was for Halloween, BT Dubs. I had a bald cat.
I remember. You asked me if I wanted to do it with you, and I said, no. You were like, do you want to be sexy Dr. Evil and sexy Austin Powers? And I was like, no.
It's okay. Somebody else matched my freak. Period. And Raina looked cute. Have you heard of Mexico's missing? Sorry, I did something in my notes that I didn't mean to. I was like typing when I didn't mean to be doing that, and so I'm just gonna fix that. Okay. Mexico's missing students.
No.
Okay, so this one is not like super recent. This was 10 years ago. This was 2014.
Mm-hmm.
But it was big news, global news, and there have been things about it ever since. But that's okay that you don't know, because we're about to learn all about
Yay!
It.
Classes in session,
yo. I did get a D in Mexican history in college. I did fail.
You got to take Mexican history in college?
Yeah. That sounds cool. I enjoyed reading. I just did not enjoy writing essays.
Yeah.
And did not know that I have ADHD, so.
Yeah.
In Guerrero, Mexico, there's like this all-boys training college for teachers. Oh. Called the Ayotzinapa Rural. Ayotzinapa, and that's the word I got right?
Wow.
Rural Teachers College. And historically, like, it's a very leftist school where students regularly participate in like protests, particularly around the anniversary of the 1968 Tlatelolco massacre. When Mexican armed forces opened fire on protesters of the 1968 Olympics and
Jesus
killed
Christ.
Hundreds. Yeah, I had no idea that there was a 1968 massacre.
Olympic massacre.
Which is ironic because the Olympics ended today as we recorded.
Whoa. Did you see any of the breakdancing?
I did. It was
so
really
bad.
Yeah. I just feel like these countries like don't have black people.
Oh yeah.
And like don't have any culture. Well, just like the culture associated with breakdancing, and so it has no soul, and they're just like
with everything that they've stolen and westernized,
right,
and like
exactly, and it shows.
Yeah,
it shows when they dance.
Yeah,
yeah. I had no idea until I read that, and I was like, "Whoa, that's crazy."
That is crazy.
So I'm going to tell what is considered or called the historical truth.
Okay. Quotation marks
of these students.
Okay.
Because no one really knows for sure what happened, but this is what, like, president at the time, Enrique Peña Nieto, has said is, like, the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, on September 26, 2014, a group of more than 100 students from Ayotzinapa traveled to Iguala, Guerrero to interrupt a conference, and from there to travel to Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
So, pretty much what these students would do would be like kind of like hijack city buses and use these to go to the protests that they were going to.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, like, the bus drivers were just like, okay, and like did what they wanted and just went with it to not cause more trouble. And so this was like a regular practice.
Mm-hmm.
And like the people would just be like, ugh, I needed that bus. Okay, get the next one. So, at around 9:30 p.m., the students were blocked by the Iguala I cannot speak. Holy shit, I'm stoned. They were blocked by the Iguala Municipal Police Force, allegedly by orders of the mayor.
Municipal police. See? I can't do municipal police. They, right? That's hard.
That's hard.
Yeah. It's not just you.
Thank you. And the wife of the mayor is who is giving the speech that they were going to interrupt.
Gasp.
Yeah. So they get blocked by all these police on these buses. By order of the mayor, allegedly.
Oh.
And the police were like, oh, yeah, no, we intercepted them because they are on these city buses. But other people were like, no, like, they were just hitchhiking. Like, they weren't doing anything. So, you know, the Mexican police are saying it was deserved or prompted. Witnesses.
Sound familiar?
Right. Witnesses are saying, no, it's unprompted. But a chase ended up happening, and the students were fired on by the police.
Oh, my God.
Two students died during this, Jesus. And others ran. They kind of, like, reconvened to speak with reporters about what happened. And a bus in the city carrying some soccer players was mistakenly fired on by the police.
What the fuck?
And that resulted in three deaths of, like, a taxi driver, the bus driver, and, like, one other person.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So the next day, the body of a student was found, and he had been tortured and died of brain injuries.
No.
Many of the students were injured, but they were rounded up by police. This is the historical truth of what happened. Mm-hmm. They were rounded up by police, where they were taken to the Iguala police station before being handed off to another police force in Cocula. While en route with the Cocula police, the students were handed off to members of a local gang called Guerrero Unidos.
Oh.
Yeah. So the police basically were supposed to get them to another location safely.
But gave them to a gang?
But gave them to a gang.
What the fuck?
And told the gang that they were a threat to their control of the area. So obviously they assumed that these student teachers were rivals of a members of a rival gang. I'm having such a hard time right now. I told Reyna I was tired today.
Week. Yeah, this was me last week. It's okay. We'll make it through this.
I feel like I have a mouthful of marbles. Yeah. So the gang thinks that these student teachers are, like, members of a rival gang. The leader of the Guerrero Unidos was named Cidronio Casarubias Salgados. Nice. And he alleged, according to the historic truth, ordered their murder.
Oh my God.
They were taken to a dumpster where many of them suffocated.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then the rest were pretty much shot. And their bodies were dumped in a pit in a junkyard and burned with, like, tires and gasoline. The remains, they then, like, let it cool overnight. And then the next day, the remains were placed in plastic bags and dumped in the San Juan River.
San Juan River.
Mm-hmm. A text from a gang member to Cidronio said.
A text?
Yeah, they'd be texting each other. This is 2014. Bah! 2014.
Y'all just, like, have gang activity through your phone, though?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
He told Cidronio, we turned them into dust and threw their remains in the river. They will never find them.
What, like, a mob thing to say. We turned them in the dust. They didn't stand a fucking chance.
I done it, boss. You'll be so proud of me. Tell me I'm a good boy.
Yeah, I ain't sleeping with the fishes tonight.
So, initially, 57 students were reported missing. 14 of the students were found to have survived by just kind of running through the woods and getting away.
Oh.
The 43 other students are still missing, and their bodies have never been found.
Oh, my God.
Although they are presumed dead. Activists accuse the police of illegally detaining them, but they maintain that none of the students were in their custody.
Huh? Huh? They're like, well, technically we gave them to a gang, so they were never really in our custody.
Right. So this is an event that sparked, like, nationwide outrage.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully so, because it was seen as the first huge, clear, undeniable instance mm-hmm. of government involvement with cartels.
Yeah.
And state-sanctioned violence.
Yeah. Yeah, because clearly the police are working with the gangs. Right. If they're like, these are suspected rivals, essentially.
Right.
Like.
And for such a large amount of people who, I mean, they were student teachers.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't involved in anything.
Yeah.
So, a lot of people have theories about why they were given over to the gang. Some people think that they had refused to give the police extortion money.
Hmm.
And so, they were like, oh, okay, here yeah. you go. Take care of them for us. Some people think that maybe the buses that they had commandeered were carrying drugs and they didn't know. It's also a theory that a rival gang potentially infiltrated the group of students and so that there were like rival gang members amongst them. The mayor of Iguala's wife, who was set to speak that day, was also seen as a potential link as they were going to disrupt her event.
Mob wife.
Mob wife. The parents of the missing students really are, like, the reason why it was talked about so much. They refused to let their children be forgotten and their murders be covered up by the Mexican government. So they've been really loud, really vocal about trying to find their children. 22 of the Iguala police force were arrested for using excessive force and for aggravated murder charges because two of the students did die during the initial shootout. The mayor, whose name was Jose Luis Abarca Velasquez, promised to cooperate with the investigation and said he was not going to resign. But he did ask for a leave of absence, which is something that they can do. And he essentially went into hiding.
Oh, yeah.
So they raided his house.
Good.
Yep. The leader of Guerrero Unidos, Cidronio, was arrested October 18th, 2014. And the mayor, Abarca, and his wife were arrested November 4th after being found in hiding. The parents of the missing students still believe that their sons are alive. Because the remains are too badly burnt to be identifiable. I think as of now, only 3 or 4 students' remains have been officially identified.
Oh.
Amnesty International has said that the historic truth can be easily debunked.
Yeah.
One of the reasons people say is because it was raining that night. So how could this fire... where their remains were burnt in a mass pit have gone all night long.
Yeah.
Hard to argue with that. But nobody really knows.
Yeah.
And the police, the chief of police of Iguala was arrested in 2016 and for his connection to events as well.
Good.
It has been like a huge embarrassment for Mexico. There's a documentary about it on Netflix. It is in Spanish, but it's called The 43.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's about this. But Latin America has a very long history of people disappearing.
Yeah.
Like, there's literally a group of students called, like, the Disappeared in Argentina.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not uncommon, I feel, for people in Spanish countries to... kind of disappear. It's also not abnormal for there to be a lot more ghost activity.
Yeah.
And I wonder why that is.
Well, do you remember me telling you about the story of that Mexican musician?
Yeah.
Chelino Sanchez? Mm-hmm. He was taken by police and then found dead the next morning.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a thing that happens.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
Well, I mean, just from what I've heard from, like, my own father, who lives in what's considered the boons of fucking Mexico.
I thought you were going to say in what's considered Mexico.
No, like, what's considered, like, the fucking Chattahoochee in Mexico, basically. He's told me that crime is pretty lax there. you know, people get away with a lot more being out in public and just really in general.
Yeah, you can bribe your way out of a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, and everybody's drunk and on drugs, so that's not really anything you get in too much trouble for unless you're fucking with somebody else's alcohol or drugs.
Yeah. Live and let live.
Yeah. But that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy stuff. I want to look into more of the... I just want to look into more... I don't know. I find it so... I don't want to say intriguing because that almost feels like... in a weird way, like fetishizing like mm-hmm. people's disappearances and stuff. But I think it was this, maybe it was the first or second episode we did, I covered Bryce LaPisa.
Yeah, I remember.
And he just, that case has stuck with me ever since I heard it because mm-hmm. it's just so odd to me that he just like literally vanished in thin air. Like cases like that are so, I don't know, I'm drawn to them for some reason. It's almost like part of my brain is like, you'll figure it out.
Yeah, I know everybody else couldn't, but you can. I think that every time I watch a documentary.
I'm going to be noticing things that nobody else has noticed. And then I'll see like 10 TikToks of people pointing out the exact same thing. And I'm like, huh.
Nobody has the pattern recognition of me, an autistic.
And then the other autistics are like, we recognized this. And you're like, dang it.
Mm-hmm. You're not special.
No. But you are to us. And to if you enjoyed you this are. Episode.
Wait, did you want to read some tarot?
I did. I was just making a little.
Oh, yeah. Making a little jokey joke.
All right. Is there anything you want to read for in particular?
Well, we talked a lot about communication. Mm-hmm. Maybe how the rest of our
retrograde
will go.
I think there's like 2 weeks left of retrograde. I think it goes until the 25th or 28th. So, but yeah, like I said earlier, hopefully everybody's doing well this retrograde because, boy, has it been a fun one.
Yeah, it's been rough.
Yeah. Shuffle these up just a little bit more.
I'm casually tearing off my press-ons right now.
Oh, to be a woman.
Yeah.
No. Dropped a bunch of cards.
I'm sorry. I want to help you.
No, it's okay. I'll grab them.
She's just so cunty.
Okay. All right. Conveniently shuffled. How many cards do you want to pull?
Let's do a three card.
Oh. Nice and easy three card. All right. First card pulled. Ace of Swords.
Okay. I do believe swords are about communication.
That's crazy.
So, breakthroughs, new ideas, mental clarity, success. Hey.
Nice.
The Ace of Swords marks a wave of new energy from the intellectual realms. You may be on the verge of a significant breakthrough or a new way of thinking that allows you to view the world with clear eyes. Or you may have a sudden realization or conscious understanding about an issue that has been troubling you and can finally see the path ahead of you. Meditate regularly Meditate regularly to clear away the mental chatter and make the most of this intellectual potential.
Okay.
Love that.
Okay, that's good. All right, next card. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of Pentacles, I believe. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, or would this be considered something else?
It has a V at the top, right?
I legit didn't even notice that that's up there. I thought it was part of the design.
Oh, gnar.
Or gnar.
Financial loss, poverty, lack mindset.
No!
The Five of Pentacles is a card of financial loss and poverty. You've hit hard times, especially when it comes to your work, career, finances, and material possessions. The upside is that this is a minor arcana card with temporary effects. This too shall pass.
Okay. So we're just down bad for a minute.
Yeah, it could indicate that we feel isolated and alone.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I like that better than you're a broke bitch.
Yeah, or sabotaging your ability to create abundance because you only focus on what you lack.
Okay. So think bigger picture.
Yeah, things are going to go well for us if we just let go of this mindset that we've been holding on to.
Yeah. Okay, the last one is justice.
Oh, okay.
That's a 3-card spread, y'all. Ace of Swords, 5 of Pentacles, and Justice.
The Justice card represents justice, fairness, truth, and law. You're being called to account for your actions and will be judged accordingly. If you've acted in alignment with your higher self and for the greater good of others, you have nothing to worry about.
Nice.
Yeah. A level of compassion and understanding accompany justice, and although you may have done something you regret, this card suggests that you will be treated fairly and without bias. Be ready to take responsibility for your actions and stand accountable for the ensuing consequences.
I feel as though, for me personally, that was more towards other people in my life than it was for me.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I've made sure to be very focused and clear on my communication in this retrograde. And I think I've done a pretty good job of it. So, the other people in my life have not always done a great job of it. So for me, that resonates more with, like, dealing with that rather than this is what you're doing. It's like I'm dealing with somebody who's doing that. But yeah, that wasn't too bad.
No, and I think altogether it really, like, paints this picture of we need to change our mindsets.
Mm-hmm. So, which, last time we read cards, I said the same thing.
Yeah, change your mindsets, take charge, take accountability, and then we will get to the Ace of Swords. We will get to that higher understanding, and that's how I'm interpreting it.
And also within doing that, your bag's gonna be up because you're gonna be focused on the bigger picture rather than the things that you're lacking and, like, things that might be missing in your life. If you focus on the abundance, the abundance will come
for sure.
Or continue to come, really.
Mm-hmm.
But it kind of goes along with what we read last time, which was, like, set your boundaries, stick to them, like, be focused, and create a plan and, like, stick to that plan. And now it's saying, like, stay focused and communicate clearly and let go of the things that are not needed anymore.
For sure.
But yeah, hopefully this retrograde continues to be good for you guys. We will be back next week, of course. If you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, suggestions, you want to drop some tea, you want to give us a juicy little secret and keep it anonymous if you want to.
You
want to
tell us if you used our spells?
Oh yeah, you want to tell us if any of our spells have worked, or if you resonated with any of our readings? You can email us at greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com.
Fantastic.
And if you want to see pictures of the tattoos that I do in Sabrina and all the funky little hairdos that we do
and our
the
cats
and just lots of little extra stuff, there's going to be a lot of news coming soon posted about our Patreon once we get all of that stuff figured out. So if you want more info on that, be sure to follow us on Instagram at GWC Podcast.
Did it perfectly.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
First time this season. and we just hope that you're having a good and safe retrograde. And we love you. And remember to light up.
And look out.
And again, we love you.
We love you.
And goodbye.
Goodbye.